So there's this running joke in my family about Great Aunt Evie. Now, I've never met Great Aunt Evie. She was actually my mother's great aunt. But apparently, Aunt Evie loved hosting dinners and tea times for family and friends. But she was notorious for never sitting down long enough at the table for the meal to start. She'd be forever popping up to grab utensils or more dishes for her guests. And they'd all laugh and urge her to sit and just be. So growing up, whenever my mother would pop up from the table to retrieve something or check on something in the kitchen, especially if it was delaying the start of grace, one of us would laugh and call her Aunt Evie, and she'd laugh too and sit back down. What we were asking my mother was to have her give us the most important thing, more important than the next dish or a clean fork, her attention and presence. We wanted her to remember the purpose of the work of hosting, the being together. In our gospel story, Martha is the one who invited Jesus into her home in the first place. She had a reason for welcoming him in, but she lets herself get distracted by the work of hosting. And I don't blame her. It sounds like she could use a lot more help. But Martha's distractions and worries cross a line into frustration. And that frustration turns into resentment. Resentment directed at her sister, and then at Jesus for letting it happen. The work distracts her, then overwhelms her, then not only becomes the thing that gets in the way of her being with her guests, it becomes resentment that sours her relationship with them. The purpose of the work of hosting is forgotten. The love behind the welcome is buried. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Remember why you were doing all of this in the first place." There are so many aspects of life that have so many extra tasks that pull us further away from the heart of their true purpose. Many of our professions, but also parenting and grandparenting and home ownership and most notoriously church. Church is ironically particularly susceptible to the sort of busy work that distracts and worries us away from sitting at the feet of Jesus, from just being with God. My first semester at seminary, I signed up to be a student sacristan, which one of the seminarians who would do the behind the scenes work to keep the chapel, the student chapel, running. It's kind of like altar guild for a parish, but also making bulletins and worship planning. And I loved the work, and I was learning a ton. And I began to notice that I very rarely ever just sat in the pews for a chapel service. There was always something to be done. Wafers to fetch, candles to relight, doors to close. And then when I started the live stream project, there was even more. And my spiritual director is the one who started to ring the alarm bells for me. And because I was wondering aloud to him why my spiritual life was shriveling up. And like a good spiritual director, he asked me the hard questions. Why was it so difficult for me to simply be present at chapel? What was so attractive about feeling busy and important and needed? What was I afraid of if I just laid it all down and let myself remember to be? I was afraid of a lot of things. I was afraid of not being needed. I was afraid of other people doing it wrong. I was afraid the whole operation would fall apart. But the truth was, I was falling apart. I was losing my way. I was forgetting the purpose of the work. I needed to find a way again to worship, to be again in the presence of God. I needed to remember the why of it all. There is need of only one thing. Paul wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You don't need to love every aspect of what you do every day. God knows I don't love all the minutiae of parenting or priesting for that matter. I doubt anyone does. And it still needs to be done. What Paul is saying, what Jesus is reminding Martha, is that we need enough. Enough that reminds us of the why of the work we do. Because love can help us endure the most grueling jobs, the most annoying tasks, the grossest parts of caring for one another. But when we have lost the why, that purpose, when this work and its worries and its burdens get in the way of loving others, when they build into resentment and crash inwards and outwards, then we have lost our way. Then it is time to return to the feet of Jesus, to listen and remember who we are. Over the years, I've spoken to a lot of folks about why they go to church, why they give and volunteer. And again, all sorts of people, from true believers to questioning seekers, will tell me that church is what they need to get them through the week. Something about what we do here reminds them of the why in the rest of their lives. Something about the words we say here, the outreach work we give here, the prayers we pray here, restores their purpose. Something about just being here in the presence of God centers them back on love. Do this in remembrance of me. Putting Jesus at the center of our lives makes all the work we do that springs from him holy. It sanctifies our life with meaning. Even the ordinary bits, the stressful bits, the unglamorous nature of keeping our church and our households and our businesses running. Over the years, I have also encountered folks showing up on Sunday morning for the first time in a long time, returning to church, sometimes after decades. And when I get the chance to ask them what made them come, what drew them here, it's often something in their life, some challenge or change that made them realize that the why of their life had begun to unravel, or no longer felt like enough. Something was missing. They came seeking a truer center of being that they had known once, or their parents or their grandparents had known, Jesus Christ. What is that thing, or that person, or that ritual, or that practice that re-centers you to your purpose? What reminds you why? What brings meaning again to the necessary work of life when you feel yourself getting pulled away or pulled apart? Sitting here in church for an hour each Sunday doesn't have to be all that is for you. The only thing you need, it could be something else. It could be sitting down at the end of a long day for a meal with the ones you love. Could be stepping back every so often to reflect on the impact of your labor. Could be kneeling at your bedside for evening prayer. Could be that sweet giggle of a one-year-old who's just spotted your face in a mirror. Whatever brings meaning again to the necessary work of life when you feel yourself getting pulled away and pulled apart. Whatever that is for you, do it and keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore. Hold on to it, protect it, set aside time for it. And if you realize, if you're realizing right now you don't have something in your life like that, find it. Get a time to meet with me to figure it out. Or lay down that work. Your life, living your life, depends on it. Amen.